Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast. I am Ria Maguire and today I am talking with Ben Harkin. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ria. How's things? Thanks very much for having me on. It's great to be here.
No worries at all. First question I want to ask you is, what is your background? Who are you?
So my name's Ben Harkin. I'm from Tiernan in Donegal. And I suppose the reason that I'm on this podcast is because last year I wrote and self-published a book, Time or Tide, Ireland and Climate Change. So that's kind of what my main thing is at the minute. I'm also a software and electronics student up in Queens. So that's kind of who I am. Then I do a lot of running as well, and that's a rough background, Ben Harkin.
As you mentioned, you recently wrote a book, but I won't go exactly into that just yet. How did you transition from engineering?
It's a software and electronic systems.
How did you transition from that to writing a book?
A lot of people kind of stop at that there now. So I suppose climate change is always something that existed for me. You know, it's just, I think as a young person, you know, we just know about this stuff. It's always been there. But I've always been really interested in tech, sort of programming and stuff. I would have done like the coder dojos and stuff like that there when I was growing up. I would have made websites and stuff like that there for the GA club. And I suppose then as well, I also had I enjoyed writing. I would have done small articles and stuff like that there on politics or climate change or whatever I was interested in. I look at them as sort of the two completely separate parts of what I do at the minute, but there are just those two hobbies that I have that would be interesting. I wonder, is there some kind of a intersection to them? I don't know, maybe if anyone has any ideas, I'd love to know.
So they're basically two of your hobbies. And then when it came to writing the book, do you want to expand on what the book is about and what really pushed you and inspired you to write it?
So I suppose like everybody in March 2020, kind of found myself in a bit of a limbo. I was back from college, I was in Belfast, and I'd come back home, wasn't really doing any lectures, just wasn't at a wide lot, to be honest. Just watching Better Call Saul most of the time, just kind of sitting at home. So I'd read this really good book, The Uninhabitable Earth, and, you know, an idea was in my head. Maybe, you know, this is a very big thing. I know a lot about it. Maybe people would listen to me talk about it more than they would listen to somebody they didn't know. So I kind of wrote it, and then between sort of middle of March to the middle of June, wrote the first edition and then edited it and self-published it in October. So it was a very busy summer last year. So the book kind of covers, the first section is all about the impacts that we're going to face. And then the second section then is all that we have, you know, how we can decarbonize. So it kind of, it's sort of a bit of a handbook really on climate change in Ireland. You know, you can just pick it up and you can read agriculture or electricity or the impacts of, you know, the sea and climate change, stuff like that there. As I think a lot of people who have got it have done, like a lot of people have told me they've got it and they just read agriculture and maybe the opening chapter, and that was enough for them. That was all they wanted to know about. So it's sort of an introduction for people to climate change, but I think it covers it in depth enough that I think most people that read it will take away something from it.
And you said just there that you wrote it over last summer. What was it like writing a book during the pandemic then?
It was really weird. I'd been speaking to a friend, I think it was sort of at the start of 2020, but maybe writing a book or something, this guy Connell. And the idea that I had in my head was maybe it could have the opening chapter, or the opening of each chapter could have like an interview with people, you know, just people that I know in the area and stuff. And it could kind of lead into the topic of the chapter. Obviously, you can't do that in COVID. So then the book becomes sort of a smaller, maybe a tighter book. But it was weird. You know, I suppose them first 2 months, I wasn't doing anything. So it was great. And then I work in a restaurant in the lagoon down the road. So I started back at that. And then I started doing an internship with Optum. I was working with their cybersecurity team for the summer. So it was really busy. But Optum gave me this huge monitor to work with. So that was a great advantage to getting it done. But yeah, it was very busy, you know, trying to edit it all. And I think something like that is actually used, I think wrote it in the review that Irish Tech News done about it, that they said that Harkin absorbed the knowledge. And I think it really felt like that for the summer, that it was just something that was always on my mind.
And one thing that definitely stands out to me with the book is actually the title, Time or Tide. Time nor tide. What gave you an idea? Why time nor tide?
I work on my uncle has an oyster farm down in down beside Dunloe in Donegal. And we have, well, a phrase that people would use that my granddad told me was sort of time nor tide, or you'd say the tide waits for no man. Time nor tide is sort of a continuation of that. But we actually had this running joke at one point of phrases that I would have to get tattooed on me. And I think the time nor tide was the big one. And then I'd started writing the book, and I think I had been writing it for maybe 2 months, and I was just out for a run. I had no title, you know, just Ireland and climate change. And I was out for a run, and just time nor tide kind of popped into my head. And I think it was just perfect. I'm glad I got to write the book just to give it the title. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, there's definitely something so nice to kind of like just title something and just have it all there as one big package. Definitely. It must have been like, wow, I actually did this. Then when the book came out to the public, what was the reception like? Like, was it daunting? It's like, you are a young person to write a book that can seem in today's world as topical.
Yeah, it was. And actually at the start of the book, I have the inscription of it as a quote from The Social Contract by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. You know, I'll be asked if I'm a prince or legislator to write on politics. You know, I was definitely worried about that it would be discounted as, you know, he wrote a book, but, you know, it's not something to be taken seriously. But, you know, the people that have read it, it's been mostly, you know, people that I know. And they've all seemed to really, you know, really enjoy it. At least that's all they've told me to my face anyway. You know, I don't know what people are saying about it. But no, it's been a really positive reception. I actually got someone in Tiernan sent me a card after it to say, when I wrote the book, to say that it lifted the spirits of the whole village. And it was a lovely gesture. But no, it's been a really positive reception to it. And it's been great to come on and talk about it on podcasts and stuff like that there. So hopefully now, you know, it's kind of seeming to grow a bit more, you know, outside of people that I know, which is really great to see.
Did you expect at all that it would grow? Or it was something that you felt like you needed to get off your chest in a way?
Yeah, that is interesting. I suppose it's kind of hard to think back to how I felt, you know, over a year ago. But like I said, that, you know, you really absorb the knowledge of the book. You really absorb, I think, the target audience. And when I was writing it, you know, nearly every paragraph was, well, that's, you know, maybe it's a good paragraph, but how does somebody who's never read anything but climate change take that paragraph? And that then, you know, influences a lot of it. So I think it did always have that local idea to it, you know, of like people that I know or people similar to people I know reading it. But it is, like I say, you know, it is still informing enough that if you know a lot about climate change, I think people will still take something from it. So it'll be interesting now to see, will it kind of grow beyond sort of my circle?
And then kind of like looking back of what you produced and kind of what you've done, is there any aspect in the book that you would have done differently now or revised for even a second edition?
Yeah, well, I actually have a copy of it always on my desk, and if I'm going to do a podcast or something, I can flick through it. You wouldn't believe how much just the stuff you forget. I keep having to remind me. It's like the leaving cert. You know, as soon as you finish it, it just empties from the brain. But it's sort of full of wee notes and stuff like that there of, you know, what to be fixed and stuff. I haven't found any spelling errors yet, which I'm very proud of. But if I would, I avoided talking about nuclear energy. Maybe I would talk about that a bit more. And I sort of mention data centers and sort of an offhand way. But I think, you know, and Daniel Murray has done great writing on this for the Sunday Business Post on, you know, how they were going to impact our electricity supply. So maybe I would focus on that a little bit more if I was doing, I don't know. I think that the book is very much of its time. It is very much like of last summer. It's sort of, it's weird to say that about something just a year ago, but I suppose it would just depend on what people are talking about, you know, then. Like, a lot of it is trying to go against maybe what I heard people giving out about with regards to climate change. So maybe it's just what I hear people giving out to me about then that I'm going to have to try and push back on.
And then what are your sources of information and inspiration from, and how do you ensure that you're not like your own like filter bubble?
The filter bubble one's really interesting, because I think as someone in tech, and you know, you probably think about this a lot, like, as our filter bubbles of social media are such a problem. Like, I try and think about that a lot. Yeah, like, I suppose it is about trying to read as many books outside of your point of view, and I really tried to do that when I was writing the book. You know, there definitely the stuff that I read, there was a whole pile of different opinions on what to do. And it was then, you know, like, I think I've listened to every single podcast that involves somebody from Ireland talking about climate change. And it was the same on, you know, papers that I read from different government agencies and stuff. To counter the idea of being a filter bubble, it is about just taking in all the points of view that you can. And I would like to think that I've done a good job. Like, the book definitely has my opinions in it. You know, I definitely do push some things, but I would hope that I don't sort of discount things that maybe I'm not pushing you. I think that you can read the book and come away from it not entirely with my point of view. So like I said, that was sort of my sources of information. I don't know where my sources of inspiration were. I think that's something different. Maybe that is the uninhabitable earth. And I think a lot of it is just what I see around me and, you know, I suppose upbringing and background and all that.
Going forward, if like all goes well, what would you like for Ireland in terms of climate change prevention?
What would I like to see? Well, I suppose, you know, like you say, we see it as something maybe in being 50 years or 100 years, but it is something that has already impacted us and is impacting us now. So the problem is that we've kind of lost an advantage that we would have had if we started doing this 20 or 30 years ago, where we would have been all about decarbonizing. Now we have to decarbonize and we have to sort of bolster the country for the impacts that we're going to face. You know, you have to prepare for more flooding and stuff like that there. So there's that sort of, you know, there's those sort of the push and pull of those two things that you have to think about. The main thing that I want to see is a decarbonized electrical grid. We need that there, because if you don't have that, then transport and heating just will never become carbon neutral. That's just not going to, if these things are going to run on electricity, if you don't have a clean electrical grid, then you're not going to have it. So it's really important that, you know, like I was talking about data centers, we need to make sure that our synchronous forms of electricity generation, which at the minute are coal plants, gas plants, things like that there, are developed cleanly. And I think that that is done through hydrogen. And it can also be done through batteries. You know, battery prices are going to continue to fall, but the main thing is making sure they're dense enough to do it. But that is something that we need to focus on. I think we need to do a better job of it, because like I say, that's what every other sector is relying on.
And especially because the wind, wind turbines, there's obviously power that they create that can be turned into obviously green hydrogen. Like, it's a possibility. It's definitely more so our government realizing that opportunity there.
Yeah, it is. And like, it's going to be expensive to do, but you know, people are starting to do it now. You know, there's going to be a hydrogen plant going in Cork. Like, it's going to cost a lot to do at the start, but it's going to be like batteries. You know, it's going to collapse in price as time goes on. And I think that we, as a quite wealthy developed country, have a sense of responsibility that we need to do these things now when they're expensive, so that other countries will be able to use them when they're cheap, so that they can avoid, you know, relying on gas and stuff as they develop, you know, as their economies develop. So yeah, like, it's not going to be cheap to do these things, but I think it is in our interest. We spend an awful lot on fossil fuels, and it's given us climate change. It's also given us health problems. So it's, you know, there's an awful lot of reasons why we should want to get off fossil fuels.
And then for yourself, because you're still quite young, what do you see in your future? Do you want to write another book? Do you want to, because I know you're also an activist yourself. So what would you like to see for yourself in the future?
Well, I'm very much a part-time activist. This is very much sort of a thing on the side. Yeah, I don't want to write another book. Not right now, anyway. That other one was stressful enough. Like, it really was. I'm glad to just leave that for a while. I don't know what I'm going to, what I might do. You know, obviously, I'm very interested in climate change. But, you know, as Walt Whitman said, I contain multitudes. You know, I think there are a whole pile of things in tech I'd rather, you know, or I'd like to work on. Basically, you know, polarization and filter bubbles in social media. I'm really interested in that. You know, maybe something in, like I built a cool project once on the Ethereum network a couple of years ago. So maybe I'd kind of look at a voting system built on Ethereum. I built that when I was in school. It was pretty cool. So maybe, you know, something in that there. But I don't know, if people have ideas for a book or a $1 billion company I could set up, that'd be great. Just let me know.
Yeah. And then kind of lastly, Ben, how can people find out more about you personally and your work? How can people contact you?
I'm on Twitter at @Harrigan_Ben. Sometimes I'll tweet about climate change. Most of the time I'll just sort of tweet about Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan. But, you know, I'm on there for whatever. I'm hoping to start doing a bit of writing again. You know, maybe, you know, a few articles or something. So get me on there and you can shout at me as much as you want about climate change.
Hopefully you won't get too much shouting at you after. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I wrap this up?
I think that when we're sort of talking about tech, as I self-published the book, so it was done on the so it's all through Amazon. I published it on Amazon and nobody reads the book, you know, like I think Amazon has some sort of a, you know, some sort of a bot or something reads it and makes sure it's nothing grossly offensive. But other than that, there, you just work yourself. And I think that it's interesting. We're seeing this more and more through, you know, Substack and stuff. You know, people can write now. They don't need to impress a newspaper editor. And I just think it's interesting. Will this be what sort of books become, you know, in the same way that we read more sort of decentralized writers? Will we do the same now for books? I think it's, I don't know. You know, I think books, maybe we think of them as being something very, there is that validation maybe that they that we expect of them. But I think it's an interesting, what do you think on it?
Honestly, to say I don't have much of an opinion of it because I've never myself written a book, but it's interesting you say that now that it is becoming more obvious that rather than writers becoming a part of a company or well-established network, publicists, that they're definitely becoming more independent in their writing and where how they distribute their books. I definitely have noticed that, but I'm sure you...
Yeah, it's an interesting... I suppose, you know, you can't really come down on any opinion on it. It's just an interesting thing to think about is will they become?
I suppose, I guess it grants more of an opportunity, but then again... also leave a little bit of a hole in the system when it comes to people writing whatever they kind of want and then saying it's like fact. If you
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so, you know, I was really careful that I wanted to, you know, everything in the book is rigorously fact checked and references this huge, you know, references section in the back, but I didn't need to do that. Amazon didn't care whether I did it, you know, they couldn't care less. I could have just stuck it up and, you know, and said everything's fact and people would have read it and said, oh, well, this is a book, it's got to be a fact. So then, you know, you are losing that, but then, you know, you're getting maybe the opinions like, actually I decided to self-publish the book and I published it in sort of, I think it was the 22nd of October, and 2 days before I self-published, I'd forgotten I'd sent it to publishers. I had sent it before I decided to self-publish it, and I actually got an email from Penguin saying that they weren't going to, you know, they rejected the book. So it's, you know, that was 2 days before I had self-published it. So there was but it's good to see that, you know, despite it being rejected, people still seem to be enjoying it. So there's something in that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point you make. Well, Ben, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on. And you guys have been listening to the Irish Tech News Podcast. Thanks again, Ben.
Thanks very much, Ria.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.